So glad everyone's here tonight. I'll tell you what, when I say you're in the right place at the right time, I mean it, praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Matthew. Let's go to Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. We've been talking about on Wednesday nights healing. And, we're going to see here in a second why we're talking about healing, but you might be here tonight and you might not need physical healing in your body at the moment. But someday you might. And you need to get this stuff on the inside of you. Or you might need to be in a place where you have to minister healing to somebody. Or tell somebody in your life that's sick that doesn't know that God's a healer. And so we're growing in all ways, praise God, and increasing. And so let's pray before we get into the Bible this evening. Father, help us tonight. Lord, nobody came here to hear from a man. We came to hear from heaven. We don't need opinions or philosophies or theories or ideas. We want to hear from the Spirit of God. So, Father, I thank you that I'll be the vessel that you will speak through tonight. And, Father, we'll magnify you. We won't magnify the name on the building or the person behind the pulpit. We always magnify you and the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. So, Father, help us tonight. Speak through me that my words would not be my own. But, Father, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, as the psalmist of old said. And, Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. And Father, there are so many different people here facing different things, going through different things in their life. Father, only you can take a room full of people going through different circumstances, different situations, different seasons in their life, and say something that is so accurate and of a portrayal, I should say this way, hits the bullseye, hits the mark in their life, Father. Something coming out of my mouth, Father, that is pertinent to their life. Only you can do that. So, Father, we look for that supernatural help this evening, and we always glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Luke chapter 5 and verse 15, it says that, "But so much the more went there a fame of him," talking about Jesus, "and great multitudes came together to hear," and what? "To be healed of their infirmities." The Bible talks about in several places, we've looked for time's sake, we won't look there tonight, how Jesus would go about different places and he would teach, preach, and heal. The teaching and the preaching always preceded the healing. Well, in this verse it says the same thing. It says that they came together to hear. What were they coming together to hear? The teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And the result was exactly what Jesus wanted the result to be, which is he taught, he preached, and he healed. Well, they came together and heard the teaching, heard the preaching, and the result was they were healed. And so we said this, if you want to be in a position to walk in divine health in your life, in your body, that's physical bodily healing, there has to be a hearing of the Word. It can't go without the hearing of the Word, praise God. And so this series, the Lord had led me, I don't even know if he called a series or a season of Wednesday nights that we're in, to preach on different aspects of healing as the Holy Ghost would lead me. And why? Because the more we hear on this subject, the more we'll walk into healing. Amen. I'm reminded of that lady that worked for Brother Hagin's ministry in Oklahoma for the Bible school. And she had told ministers that come in here that they wasted, that the Bible school, the church, had wasted their insurance policy on her. She was an employee. You know this, most of you know the story. And they said, why did they waste the insurance policy? I said, for 40 years, I haven't been to the doctor. Said, wow, they were kind of astonished by that. I mean, that's rare. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 that if we'll incline our ears to the Word and hear what He has to say, it'll lead to health to our flesh. She said for 8 hours a day for 40 years, Monday through Friday, I've been in here listening to sermons, putting together books, editing the tape department. She said, all day long I'm here. She said, I go to church a couple times during the week. I listen to the Word on the way home. I listen to the Word at home. She was constantly listening to the Word. Well, what happened? It translated to health to her flesh. Well, that's what Jesus was doing. Teaching, preaching, then healing. Teaching, preaching, then healing. If you want to live a lifestyle of the healing, you have to be in a lifestyle of hearing the Word. So I'm going to help you with that and preach on healing as long as the Lord leads me to on these Wednesday nights. And what he has put on my heart tonight is very important and foundational when it comes to receiving divine healing in your life. And maybe you've heard this stuff before, but that's okay. You just get more faith on it. But the one thing that is so foundational in order to receive divine healing is to be sold out in all circumstances that it is His will to heal your body. And when you face a negative report from a doctor who, you know, spent years going to school and can talk in big terms and can have reports and blood tests and different test results and knows what they mean and can pull up x-rays and pull up MRIs and pull up CAT scans and things, and they tell you something that they use the words incurable, impossible, you feel the symptoms in your body, you're going through it in your body. A lot of times, as Christians, I've fallen into this trap before, and I know a lot of other people have fallen into this trap before because I've had to renew their way of thinking. Is here we go to church, we're faithful, we support the ministry, we love God, we endeavor to live a moral life, we endeavor to be faithful, we endeavor to serve in our church, we endeavor to do things that are right. And then something happens to us, and then it can be tempting when it's serious to start questioning, where is He at? Does He care about this? How could this happen? If He didn't want this to happen, how could it happen? And that's a dangerous trap to fall into. Because we don't judge God by our circumstances or by doctor's reports. We judge God by the Word. Amen? But He's the one, ultimately, when we're told incurable, impossible, this is your symptom, this is what you're going through, He's the one we're looking to take it away. There is no magic pills at times. There is maybe at times no therapy to fix incurables and fix impossibles. And there's no medicine. And there's what I'm trying to say is there's limits at times to what the natural can do. And so you're looking to God to be the answer. Well, Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says that we receive from Him by faith. Right? That's how you receive the promises of God. If healing's a promise from Him, the way you get it is by faith. Well, what's faith? Faith is a sold-out belief. It's a 100% convinced. In fact, real quick, go to James chapter 1 and verse 6. James chapter 1 and verse 6. Says, let him ask in faith. Talking about going to God for something. Let him ask in faith. Well, faith is just another word for belief. What would be a good picture of faith? Well, the good picture of faith of something you've never seen. What's the date today? April 3rd? Tomorrow's going to be April 4th, 2019. The sun has never come up on April 4th, 2019, has it? But you all believe that it will, even though you've not seen it. That's what belief is. It's a sold out being convinced of something. 100%. You know that the sun's coming up tomorrow. And it says, let him ask in faith, or that kind of confidence, that kind of assurance. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea driven and tossed with the wind. For let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. People all the time get down on me about the faith message. And, oh, Pastor Mike, no, the Bible tells us if we're not in faith, we don't receive anything from Him. That's why a lot of people don't receive anything from Him, because they're not in faith. They're in wishing. They're in wanting. They're in hoping. But they're not in faith. And the example that I always use concerning this, because you can't be in 100% faith for something from Him if you're not 100% sold out that's what He wants you to have. So-and-so can pass away, and they can have a lot. Let's just say so-and-so passed away, and you're like me, you're a hunter, you know, and rifles and things like that are cool, you know, and they got a family member has a stash of in a safe of rifles and things, and you can want those guns. You can wish for those guns when they pass away, right? You can hope for those guns that when they pass away, but you can't be confident that you can have those guns until you read the will. Till you find out the will of the person. Now, if the will of the person says in their last will and testament, I want so-and-so to have these, you can go to bed before they're yours, excited, confident, knowing you're going to have it, right? I use the example all the time about Caleb. Caleb would love to not go to school tomorrow. Wouldn't you? Yeah, you can admit it. You don't have to act perfect right now. Tell him. Tell the church. Keep me home, Dad. Keep me home. I'm telling you, he would. He'd love to stay home from school. And he can go to bed tonight wishing for that, wanting for that, and hoping for that. He can have all those feelings. But the one feeling he cannot go to bed with is confidence that he won't have to go to school tomorrow. He can want it real bad, and he can wish for it, and he can hope for it. But the only time he's confident in belief is if Dad says before you go to bed, hey, buddy, you're not going to school tomorrow. Then the wishing, the wanting, and the hoping step over into the realm of believing and confidence. And so many people with divine healing are not sold out that God wants them healed, that God is a healer. And we have to be convinced about that. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to look at something here real quick. Go to 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9 to further bring out this point. And by the way, you're going to school tomorrow. Just thought I'd tell you that just in case. I don't want you sitting there hoping for nothing. Daddy brought it up. Maybe I'm not going. Oh, you're going. 2 Chronicles. Oh, where are you in here, Chronicles? I know you're there. 16. I know how the enemy works when sickness comes. Because when sickness comes, it messes with your mind. When you're feeling the symptoms, when you can see it, it messes with you. When you can feel it, it messes with you. When you're serving God and you're faithful and doing things and hell shows up at your door, there's a temptation to think, well, where are you? You must not have cared. And it's just not true. God always wants you healed in every circumstance, in every situation, in every condition. In 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord, gives you a picture of God now in heaven, run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You see, he's seated on a perched position. He sees everything. And the Bible says they're going back and forth throughout the whole earth. Well, what's he doing? To show himself strong. He's looking to show himself strong in who? In behalf of them, or the person whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein you have done foolishly, therefore from henceforth you shall have wars. Now I want to show you a couple things from this verse to explain that. First thing I want you to see is that God is looking to bless humanity. He's just up there on a perched position, just looking. And the way I put it one time, I said, you ever seen that cat that's on the fence post in a field and they're just looking? Ready to pounce on that mouse, that little field mouse, right? They're just looking, just sitting up there perched, looking to pounce. God's looking to pounce on you and show himself strong in your life. He's looking for the opportunity to do it. And it says that he wants to, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself. He wants to show himself strong. Well, when it comes to the idea of divine healing, who is himself with divine healing? He is the healer. What do I mean by that? Well, remember, we don't have to turn there, but remember in Exodus 15 and verse 26, he said, I am. He said, I want you to know who I am. I am the Lord that healeth you. It'd be like me saying, I am Swedish, or I am German, I am a male, I am American, telling you different aspects of who I am, right? And you wouldn't, why would you argue with that? I'm telling you who I am. And God said in Exodus 15, 26, I am the Lord that heals you. In the Hebrew, it literally reads this way, I am Jehovah, or Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who heals you. So part of who he is the healer. He's the great physician. So you could read it this way in context of what we're saying. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show his healing side, his healing qualities, strong in somebody. God's looking to show himself. You can't separate himself from the healing. You can't separate me from the Swede. You can't. You can't separate me from being a male. You can't separate me from being an American. It's who I am. Well, God has certain qualities and characteristics too. You can't separate the fact that he is a healer. He declares it. So when he says, I want to show myself strong, if it's healing that the person needs, God wants to be strong in their life concerning healing. And so he goes on here and he says, I want to show myself strong on the behalf of the one whose heart is perfect towards him. Now, we read that word perfect and we immediately think, well, I'm disqualified. And you think you're disqualified, right? Because who's perfect? Well, you have to look at the context of the story and the words and how they're used. Verses 7 through 9 tell us the context of why God said that. And let's look at it. At that time, Hanani, I guess that's how you'd say that, the seer or the prophet came to Asa, king of Judah. So this prophet comes to the king and says this to him. Because you relied on the king of Syria and didn't rely on God. So you could say it this way. Because you had more faith in the king of Syria, because you trusted the king of Syria more than you trusted God. Right? Wouldn't that be relied mean? You could say it that way. Because you had more faith in the king than you did God, because you trusted the king more than you did God. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Saying, this was to be yours as well, and they're out of your hand now. You're not going to have control over this region. Verse 8, he reminds him of something. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? He's reminding him of a time that he went up against the Ethiopians and the Lubims, and they had a huge army. And the situation looked bad, right? That's what he's reminding them of. He said, weren't they big and strong and tough and hard? And it looked like a difficult thing to get past. Yet, because you did rely, or because you trusted, because you had faith in God, he delivered them into your hand. He's saying, even though it looked bad and hard and impossible, when you had faith in God, it worked out. Now you had faith in a man, and this slipped out of your hands now. He's saying, at one time you were in faith, and now you're not. How many of you know, when you let the faith grip go, what you're believing for slips away too? Peter was in faith for a little bit walking on the water. And then Peter let go of that faith and began to sink. In faith, not in faith. When he was in faith, it was working. When he was out of faith, it didn't work anymore. And that's what he's saying here. When you were in faith, it worked. When you're not in faith, it didn't work. And so he then goes on to say, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, looking to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Well, he gave an example of when the Lord showed himself strong against the Ethiopians and the Lubims. Why did he show himself strong in that? Because what did the guy do? It's not that he was perfect, but he trusted or had faith. Remember it says, because you relied on the Lord. It didn't say anything about him being perfect. It said, because you trusted or relied, or you could say this, because you had faith in God, you were delivered out of them. And he says, why did that work? Because God's looking to pounce in situations where somebody is in a situation that looks impossible, but looks to him and says, you're my answer. You're my help. You're bigger than this. You're stronger than this. I don't care what it looks like. You're bigger and stronger. And the Bible says he's looking to pounce. Well, without getting into it too deep, it goes along with this. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed or satisfied are the ones that hunger and thirst after God. Hungry, ones that have faith. We know this, that God will pass over 1 million people to get to one person in faith. Why? God is moved by faith. Why? Because that's how God says he's moved, and God has to stick to his word. That's why he said in James chapter 1 and verse 6, if you don't ask in faith, you can't receive from me. Because I'm obligated to only move by faith. And he tells us in this verse, I'm looking throughout the whole earth. Please let me find somebody. I want to bless. I want to pounce. I want to show myself strong. But I'm obligated to stick to my word. I'm looking for somebody. Like the king did years ago. When times were tough, he looked to me. And he pounced, didn't he? God pounced on that situation. And now because he didn't. So what am I trying to say to you is that God is looking to heal people. He's looking to show himself strong in the sick and looking to heal. But sickness alone does not bring God's healing ability to the scene. Just like this guy's trouble alone didn't bring God's deliverance power to the scene. Faith brought him to the scene. How's God's healing power going to come to the sick Christian or the Christian that has symptoms or has been given a negative report, not because they've been to church their whole life, not because they live a moral lifestyle, not because they deserve it, or because life's been really hard for a long time. No, God's healing ability will come when that person relies and trusts in Him. God can then come off the perch and pounce on that situation. That's how it works. Amen. But you can't trust what you don't know. You can't trust what you don't know. If in that situation you think, well, God's okay with this, or God did this to me, or God doesn't care about this, or it's been years and years, so God must not, and you start to think that way, it'll flush your faith right down the toilet. Because true faith is a convinced sold out that doesn't matter what the doctor says, I know you don't want this on my body. It doesn't matter how hard it looks, I know you're stronger than this. Amen. So what I want to just dive into a little bit tonight is the ministry of Jesus, and share a few verses along this line that we've not shared before. You maybe have read them before, but the Holy Ghost had me going a little bit different direction. But the greatest display, because remember, faith can't rest on mere ability. Caleb knows every single night he goes to bed, I have the ability to call him in the next day. He knows that, doesn't he? He knows that Dad is the one that can get me out of school. I can't. He knows for himself, he can't walk into school and say, I don't want to be here today. Or call himself up and say, hello, Mrs. So-and-so who's in the office. This is Caleb speaking. I just want you to let know I'm not coming today because I don't want to. Well, that's not going to fly. They're going to get a hold of Mom and Dad. But he knows that I can do that. But he can't. But because he knows that I can, it still doesn't change the fact that he's only hoping, wishing, and wanting it just because I can. Faith cannot rest on mere ability. But when it transfers from the hoping, the wishing, and the wanting to the confidence is when he knows my will. And I believe the greatest display of God's willingness to heal is in the ministry of Jesus. Amen? You ready to dive in and uncover some things? Go to John 6 and verse 38. John chapter 6 and verse 38. Let me tell you something. Times when I've been real sick, real sick. Of course, my appendix episode was one of them. When I was in Bible school, I missed 2 weeks of school at a faith school. Came home at Christmas time, 25 pounds lighter. Didn't even look like myself, did I? I had gotten so sick with ear infections and respiratory infections and throat. It was the sickest I'd ever been before I got sick with my appendix. And the thoughts that come to you to try to pull you off a place of faith, because faith is what's going to turn that around. If you're not sold out, because I deal with people all the time, God just must not care. Oh man, I already found out you're walling around in doubt and unbelief. If any of you think that the situation you're in tonight, whether it's healing that you need or anything at all, if you don't think that God cares more than anything and anyone on this earth, your doctrine's wrong in your head. Yeah. Anything you're facing with your family, anything you're facing your job, the depths of His love and goodness and mercy and want to for your life, if you're not sold out on that, you're going to have trouble receiving and being in full faith. Because the devil will attack that and he'll exploit that in your head and he'll give you thought after thought after thought. The devil will influence people to come into your life. Oh, that's a good one that people need to be recognizing. You do realize the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but the devil will use flesh and blood. He'll influence people, and they'll come into your life, and they'll start talking to you. That's why the Bible says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you just do the word and don't listen to the ungodly ones, you'd be fine. You'd be blessed. But a lot of people start listening to everybody else's voices, what they're saying about the situation, what they think about the situation. No, stick with the Bible. Stick with the word. Hallelujah, and the devil will mess with you. John 6 and verse 38, look what Jesus said. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. You see that? Jesus declares for the world, I came down from heaven, lived 33 and a half years on the earth, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. Amen. Remember that. Now go to John 14 and verse 9. John 14 and verse 9. Jesus said unto them, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Now look at this. He that has seen me has what? Seen the Father. And you sayest then, show us the Father. He's like, duh! You see the Father. What you see in me is the Father. And then in verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you not of myself, but notice this, but the Father that dwells in me, see that? He doeth the works. Oh, but that word works should set off a light bulb in our head, because we know the works that Jesus did on the earth. And a good majority of those works were healing works. And we're going to read some here. So whatever Jesus did, whatever he said, however he conducted himself, was strictly a demonstration of the Father's will, of what the Father wanted. That's why even in that you can see how messed up the world is. Hollywood, the news, movies, ministers. I mean, I've heard ministers. I've heard it. I saw it with my own eyes. I've talked to them before, ministers. Seen them preach these things. That God gives sickness to people. That God's okay with people being sick. That God gives people a sickness to teach them a lesson. Well, that would be true if we see Jesus doing that. So either one of two things happens, because we don't see Jesus doing that. Either God's not in that business, or Jesus was only here to violate the Father's will. If the Father's will is to make people sick, to hurt people, to keep them down with sickness and disease, then Jesus was in direct violation of what God wanted. Amen. Matthew 4, 23 and 25. Just get your hand ready to write, and I want to show you all these places to build your faith. Now, for those of you that care about other people, you'll get these on the inside of you, because there are a lot of people in your life that think that God doesn't care about their healing. That God's not interested, that God made them sick. And you can see all these verses that I'm about to give you that show what a healer Jesus was, and he already prefaced and said, I only do what he wants me to do. The works that I'm doing, he's doing them. You want to see the Father? Just look at me. That's why I talk about Hollywood, all these people lying about God. In all areas of life, God's kicking the sinner down. No, Jesus didn't kick the sinner down. Jesus lifted the sinner up. Helped the sinner. Yeah. Well, I could never know who God is. I could never know who God is. Yeah, you can. Just read the Gospels. That's who God is. Nothing but mercy, love, compassion, healing, kindness, forgiveness, deliverance, prosperity, victory, provision. That's who Jesus was. Why was he that way? Because the Father in him was doing the works. And that's who God was. Matthew 4 and verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now remember when we say this, when I say Jesus went about. But remember, it was the Father in him doing the work. So the only reason Jesus went about is because that's what the Father wanted to do, to go about. So keep that in mind. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers or different diseases and torments, those that were possessed with devils, those that were had lunatic, had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes from all those places. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Matthew 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing. And healing. Everybody say, and healing. And healing. Why? Because that's what God does. Every sickness. Oh, even the ones that are impossible, that's an every sickness. Even the ones that are incurable, that's an every sickness among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord would send forth laborers in his harvest. But then look at chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Well, what happened when he gave his disciples power? The healings were then able to multiply. Because now it just wasn't coming from one source, it was coming from 13 sources. And that's just if he gave the 12. We know that there were a bunch of disciples that followed him. Because John 6 says from that point on, many of his disciples left him, but wasn't counting the 12. So we don't know how many people. We know in Luke, he gave the 70. Remember the 70 returned and said, Lord, even the devils are subject to your name. So we know even in Luke chapter 10, he gave 70. That's 71 Jesuses, including himself, going out and doing the works, multiplying. So I guess if he didn't want people healed, he's sure not doing the right thing here. Because he's multiplying the healings now. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. Why did he heal them all? Because the Father does the works. You want to know who the Father is? Jesus said, just look at me. You've seen the Father. Well, I wonder if God's really loving. Was Jesus loving? Yeah. Matthew 14, 14. It's all right to get into the Bible, isn't it? Amen. Someone from this church had invited a friend to one of the churches, you know, and one of the family churches, and they went there and they said, you know, it was good and all, but man, they just give too much Bible. That's what they said. Too much scripture. Can you imagine that? Well, what is the scripture? The scripture is our confidence. The scripture tells us exactly what he wants for us. Amen. So we don't have to guess and wonder. Matthew 14, 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. How does God view the sick? With compassion. Not with you deserve that. Not with I want that on you. He views the sick with compassion. What this ought to do for you if you need healing in your body, or when you do need healing in your body, if some symptoms got in your body, it ought to give you such a confidence that not only do you not want it, but he doesn't want it. Amen. Amen. Matthew 14, 34. Lots of verses. Too much Bible here tonight. Matthew 14, 34. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all country round about and brought in him all that were diseased. The word's getting out. And besought him that he might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Just keep bringing the sick to him. Why? That's what he wants to do. He wants to heal. Luke 5 and verse 15. We looked at that to start. Luke 5 and verse 15. We'll read it again. But so much more, there went a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed. They came with the purpose, knowing this is what he wants for me. Well, doesn't the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 4? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly, what's that mean? Confidently. See, you want to receive your healing? You got to show up like these people. They came there with the purpose, knowing he's got what I need and he wants to give me what he has. And they came boldly. That's boldness. To hear and be healed. Go with me to Luke 6 and verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain in company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue or power out of him, and he healed them all. This was his life, his ministry. How can the devil hoodwink people that have sickness into thinking that God doesn't want them to be healed? That's all that he did was go around teaching, preaching, healing, teaching, preaching, healing, teaching, preaching, healing. All. Multitudes, multitudes, multitudes. Acts 10:38. The ministry of Jesus showed us who the Father is. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So he gave him some equipment, didn't he? The Holy Ghost and power. Well, what did he do with that Holy Ghost and power? It tells us he went about doing good. And what? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. There's a lot in that verse to unpack. It tells you right there where sickness is from. It's never from God. It's never from God. Because it tells you here they were oppressed of the devil. Remember in Luke 16, the woman that had the infirmity, she was bowed over for all those years? Whom Satan has bound, Jesus said. Unless God and Satan are in cahoots together. Come on, you know you've heard it. You've heard people give God credit for the things the devil's doing. All the time. All the time. But he gave him, you could unpack that, say about God, devil being the sickness giver. But look at this, it says, God gave Jesus a power or equipment to go around to undo what the devil was doing. What was the devil doing? Oppressing people with sickness. If God wanted people sick, he wouldn't have gave Jesus a power to undo what the devil was doing. He is never okay with you being sick. Ever. He never uses it as a learning lesson. He's never okay with one little thing being wrong in your body. I'm never okay when my kids are sick. She comes to me, oh, Abby's got a fever. Awesome. That's just a fever. Who cares? No, it bothers me. Why, I'm her daddy. This is the mentality you got to have to receive when you're in that place of sickness. Hallelujah. You know, it'd be like this, you know, if, say you were sent to another country as an ambassador for the United States. And this country didn't know much about the U.S. They've heard different things, good and bad. But they said, what is an ambassador? An ambassador's coming over, because that's a big word. And you teach them, they say, well, this is somebody that's coming over from that country that is going to represent the United States. That's what an ambassador does. They represent the country that they're from. And you explain that to people and you say, we're going to finally get an idea of what the United States is like by how they carry on about themselves. So if they go over there and let's say they're disrespectful and they're rude and they treat people bad and they're awful to them, well, guess what they're going to think the United States is? But on the other hand, if they go over there and goodwill and do mission work and bless them and provide for them, they're going to be favorable towards the U.S. Well, this is what the U.S. is like. Well, Jesus was a God ambassador. Amen. What was he doing? All these good things, which should tell you where he comes from. That's what where he comes from wants. Because the ambassador to the other country, if they're going to stay in the ambassador position for very long and not get in trouble, they're going to represent the U.S. the way the U.S. wants them represented. And Jesus was representing God the way that God wanted him to be represented. Amen. Now, going forward and to wind this down, because we know all that a lot of times. That's maybe we've never looked at it in that depth in Scripture, and there's so much more to look at that you can see Jesus doing. But the great argument that the devil gives people is, yeah, no kidding, but that was Jesus. That was Jesus. That was Jesus' times. Well, go with me to John 16:7. Let's answer that. Well, that was Jesus. Well, yeah, of course, that was Jesus. Look what Jesus said. Because no doubt, we just read a whole lot of verses that a whole lot of people benefited from him being alive and around. A whole lot of people that were sick were no longer sick when they came in contact with him. And we think, yeah, no doubt, it was Jesus. But he's gone now. Well, look what he said about being gone. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient. That word expedient just means the word advantageous or better. He said it's expedient or advantageous or better for you that I go away. Well, what's he talking about? Well, we're talking about Easter now. He told them all along, I'm going to die on a cross, I'm going to be raised from the dead, and I'm going to ascend into heaven and sit at the right hand of my Father. That's what he told them. He's basically saying, I'm not going to be here forever. But now, and so that would bother them. Why? Because being around him was a pretty good gig. A lot of people benefited. A lot of people got to see some really neat things and experience things and have their lives changed because of him. And now he's telling them we're going to go away. And you know what their thought is? Don't leave. Don't leave. Don't leave. But now he's going to tell them, nevertheless, I tell you, it's better for you, advantageous or expedient for you if I go away. He's saying it's better that I leave. Well, there were multitudes, thousands upon thousands of people that were on the earth, that were sick, that lives were changed by him. And if you're in that category of a sick person, you could not say, if he goes away and his healing goes with him, the sick person would not say, it's better that he's gone. Not for the sick person. If his healing goes with him when he goes away, it's not better for the sick person that he goes away. It's better that he stays right here. But he didn't say that. He said, it's better that I leave. It's better that I leave. Hallelujah. Go to John 14 and verse 12, even further on this. Verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do. Well, what are the works he did? We just read a whole bunch of verses on the works he did. What was one of the main works he did? Healed people's bodies. He said, the works that I do, you're also going to do them. And greater works than these. Well, he said it would be better if he went. And now he's saying that we're going to do greater works than he did. Greater sounds better. Because I go to my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Well, he's telling us now, we can become like him running around the earth. Just like the healings multiplied. You know, you've seen gremlins, you know. Don't feed them after midnight. Don't spill water on them. They start popping out. Well, when Jesus anointed people and gave them the power, they started multiplying. Little Jesus is all over the place, going about and healing and healing. Well, he can only be in Nazareth, but there's people over in Jerusalem that need it. Okay, let's just send them over there. Send the people over there. Yeah, but there's people over in Syria, and there's people over in Bethlehem, and there's people over... That's okay. He's not just one anymore. He's one of many now. The body of Christ, us. Now, so Jesus said, it's better if I go away. We know why, and we'll look at it at the end here. He said, the works I do, greater works than you'll do. Well, one way we do them is greater in number. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Go to Acts 4:29. Now, thank God the early church didn't have the idea that a lot of the church world has nowadays. Well, that was Jesus. That was just Jesus. Well, in Acts 4:29, Jesus is already off the scene. But see, the people that are here in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, were also with him when he said, it's better that I leave. And also were there when he said, greater works you're going to do. They just were dumb enough to take him at his word. Acts 4:29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal. But no, you can't pray for healing. The healer's gone. No, the healer said, it's better that I go. That means he didn't take his healing with him. Because it's not better if he takes his healing with him. It gets worse if he leaves and his healing goes with him. By stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Praise God. Acts 5 and verse 15. So they prayed for the healing, didn't they? Lord, we pray that you would stretch forth your hand and heal. Signs and wonders. Acts chapter 5 and verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. What are they bringing him out for? Jesus is gone. I thought healing went away with Jesus, just with Jesus. No, healing did not leave when Jesus left. Amen. Healing got better when Jesus left. Amen. Let me say it again. Healing for people in the world got better when Jesus left the earth. Amen. He said it would. He said it'd be better. That's not blasphemy. That's the truth. That at least the shadow of Peter passing over them, I might overshadow some of them. They said, just get me in the shadow of Peter. There also came multitudes of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one of them. You know what that sounds like to me? The ministry of Jesus. But where's Jesus? Where's Jesus in every one of those believers? Because the devil will give you thoughts, yeah, Pastor, I see that. It was when Jesus, or Jesus, or Jesus. No, you didn't. Healing did not go away when Jesus left. I know that's what a lot of churches tell you. And I know that's why a lot of churches go through and preach and believe. And that's why a lot of churches don't have healings. That's why a lot of churches don't have signs and wonders. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, it's amazing the religious pushback that I experience from this side of things in the ministry, in the spiritual realm, with coming against. We're the that church people. Amen. Had someone not too long ago come to a service in Allegheny, and they raved about how that changed their whole life, and that they were sensing in their heart that God wanted more for them, and that God had something different for them. Well, when somebody's wanting something more, it's because they're not getting something that they're needing. And they came and they heard a sermon and they said, changed their life forever. Was able to talk privately with them. And in that conversation, this was a Tuesday night, between Tuesday and Saturday, in that conversation, I said to them, because they told me, I said, just be mindful that the more you're after is things your mind and eyes have never seen before. Which will translate to weirdness in your mind and in your flesh. Because our mind and flesh don't like different. Yeah. Oh no, I can't imagine that. I just want to put me in to serve and everything. And I mean, it was awesome. That Saturday night, preached a sermon at the end of the service. The Spirit of God told me about heart condition. Well, and I mean, if you were at that service in Allegheny that night, I said, who's here with the heart condition? Well, two people came up to the front. But when the two people came up, and they should have, my spirit was grieved on the inside of me. And I didn't know why at the time. Laid hands on these two people, and the one lady dropped like a bunch of bricks, you know, just collapsed under the power of God. And the other person just received their healing and actually came back the week after and testified how things had changed. They went to the doctor and things had changed. So God healed them in that service. Well, my spirit was grieved, and afterward, I didn't know why, and someone had come up to me after the service and said, will you pray for so-and-so? They were there in that service, but will you pray for so-and-so? They have a problem with their heart, and they have tests this week. And in my head, I shut it off real quick. I'm thinking, that was your chance to get healed. God knew that. That's why my spirit was grieved, because there was somebody else that needed to come forward. But my point was, that was all by the Spirit of God. I had no idea about the person that needed that, and the people that came up, I had no idea what they were facing. And we had a result from the guy the next week. It said they went back to their doctor and things were changed, and they were just thanking me up and down. I said, well, praise him. You know, praise him for it. I'm not the healer. But my point is, that person that wanted more and wanted more and wanted more and wanted more and wanted more, well, they saw more. See, in their church, they don't lay hands on the sick. In their church, they've never been hit with the power of God. In their church, they've never heard tongues, interpretation of tongues. In their church, they've never heard of word of knowledge where the pastor will call out a condition and somebody actually has it. And it was exactly what I told them. Be careful. It's going to be weird to your flesh. It's going to be weird to your flesh. It's going to be weird to your flesh. And guess what? Haven't heard, what do they say, hide nor hair. I mean, gone like the wind. I'm telling you. I got to go talk to my spiritual leader about this. You mean the spiritual leader that's the head over a church that doesn't lay hands on the sick? that doesn't believe in divine healing, that won't lay hands like this. And there's such pushback against this stuff because it's so uncommon. But back in the Bible times, it was the norm. Laying hands on the sick, they were bringing multitudes just so Peter's shadow could touch them. Everybody thought this is the norm, but now we're the that church. Yeah, we're the that church. You're darn right we are. We're that church. Yeah. And these places are deader than a doornail. Nobody's getting healed. Nobody's getting set free. Nobody's getting born again. There's no power. I'm just telling you, it's so the pushback. But this is the norm, and they took Jesus at his word, and they said, we don't care that he's not here. He said it's going to be better. So it's got to be better. And they brought them all, and they were healed, praise God. Now go with me, and we'll close with this, Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Don't be the immature, carnal, baby Christian that runs at the first sight of something foreign or uncommon or unnatural or feels weird to their flesh. That's what carnal people do. Spiritual people recognize they might not know everything, and let's see it in the Word. If it's in the Word, doesn't matter how I feel, doesn't matter what I think, I want what's in the Bible. That's what a spiritual person does. They ran from Jesus in John chapter 6 when they didn't understand. They ran from him. Multitudes left him, and he was perfect. His words were perfect, and they were uncomfortable with him, and they were carnal, and they left him, and they missed out. Mark 16, in verse 14. So now that Jesus is gone, healing was going to be ministered in two ways on the earth. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat and ate meat. And then, see, there are no vegetarians there. That's why I got to eat steak. That's biblical. They sat and ate meat. Now, I'm not against the vegetarians, but for me, I'm just not going there. I'm just saying. I don't know. I just saw that. I said, praise the Lord. And upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, we know he can't be talking just to the disciples because the disciples never made it to South Dayton. And we know he clarifies who he's talking about here in a second. He that believed and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believed not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Not just that we're in his presence that day. These signs will follow anyone who believes. Not just the ones that saw him say it, or then it wouldn't have worked for the disciples in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5. They wouldn't have prayed for the healing, and they wouldn't have got the healing in Acts chapter 5 if they would have said, well, we had to be there when he said it. Or we have to all just be here when he says it, because we know there were healings that went about that people that weren't right under his ministry. Paul was never under the ministry of Jesus on the earth. Now, Jesus schooled him spiritually, but Paul was never here getting taught by Jesus, and Paul did a lot of healings, right? Yeah. Amen. So he's talking about, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. Oh, I guess the healing ministry of Jesus is still alive and well. And they shall recover. Why did he say it would be better? Because now he says it's not just me going around laying hands on the sick. Anyone that will believe this, that's my child, has the ability to go out and be a me and lay hands on people. I remember real quick when I was at the JCC gym, my first experience with this ever. And the gentleman by the name of Bob, the older gentleman, most of you have heard this already, had a sickness and he was down and out and told me all the problems he had and the tests they were running, what they thought was going to happen to him. And this verse came up in my heart. I had never done this before. I wasn't a pastor, wasn't in the ministry. Just a sheep going through. Just being a Christian, doing the Word of God. And Bob's telling me this, and it comes up in my heart, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And you want to think, God, you'll do it. God, you'll do it. No, but God says, we're the hands, we're the feet. Jesus wasn't looking to God and say, God, you do it. God, you do it. No, Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll be God on the earth. I'll be the hands and feet on the earth. Well, Jesus is gone and God's gone. You know, they're up there. But the hands and the feet are still here. So somebody's got to go and do it. And this came up in my heart, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And I said, Bob, I said, I don't know your background, what you believe or anything, but the Bible says lay hands on the sick. It doesn't say just lay hands on the Christian, lay hands on the churchgoer. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I said, can I pray for you? And to my little doubting brain, he said, yes. So right there in the gym, I pull him off the side, I lay hands, I put my hands, actually I think I just touched the top of his head, I said, in the name of Jesus, I just did what the Bible said, in the name of Jesus, we command all the symptoms in his body to leave. We speak healing into him in Jesus' name. I said, Bob, let's just thank God for your healing. And he kind of didn't really say much, but you know, I was saying, thank you, Lord, for healing Bob. Thank you, Lord, for healing Bob. Well, I came back a day later, 2 days later, 3 days, I don't remember how long it was. And I'm signing in at the front desk, you know, and they're all talking, my goodness, have you seen Bob? Oh, he's like a new man. He's all excited. And I overheard him talking. Yeah, he went and all those tests now came back negative. Everything changed. The doctors can't figure it out. I go in. Bob comes running up to me and says, you're not going to believe what happened. I feel like a new man. Every symptom, my body's gone. The doctor said none of that stuff that showed up before is left. It's gone. Well, it worked. So how's healing going to be ministered on the earth? Through us. How are we going to receive healing on the earth? Well, I'm glad you asked. And we'll close with this verse, James chapter 5 and verse 14. James chapter 5 and verse 14. If you're sick, you don't need Jesus here. You don't need Jesus here to... If you needed Jesus here to receive your healing, you're in trouble. He ain't coming back until he comes back and takes you away. Is any sick among you? What's he saying? If there's anybody that's sick, there's an answer. Now, it says, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Jesus. And one of the things that we might talk about in this series is the different manners or methods that healing can come through. We see it can come through clothes. We can see it can come through laying on of hands. We see it can come through just words. We see it comes through the anointing of oil. Now, I've never been used this way, but I've been led to speak over things. I've been led to lay hands. I've been led to lay hands on handkerchiefs and things. I've never seen Pastor Nancy do the oil. I've never saw Brother Hagin, but I've heard him preach about it. And it just depends on, but I've seen Richard Roberts do it. Just how you're led, amen? But it's not the oil that heals people. It's not the oil that heals people. Just like it's not the cloth that heals people. It's not the hand that heals people. It goes on to tell you in verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's not the oil that saves the sick. It's not the person's hand that saves the sick. It's not the cloth that saves the sick. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. What's my point? Well, what's the prayer of faith? Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive and you'll have them. How are you going to receive your healing? You're going to receive your healing by faith. Amen. Healing is ministered two ways on the earth now. Through the believer, laying hands, ministering like Jesus, and receiving it by faith. And it's God's will. We see it clear. It doesn't matter if Jesus is here or not. Praise God. Well, were you helped? Amen. Amen and amen. We're stirred up. We had known all this stuff already, but what it does is it stirs us up for healing. It puts us in remembrance. Praise God. I hope you just go looking for devils to cast out. Go looking for them. Go find someone that needs help. Praise God. Go looking for someone that needs deliverance. Glory to God. Be the person that actually stands up and does this stuff. Lord, thank you for your help tonight. We praise you and magnify you. We're glad to be that church, Father. We don't care if it's not the most popular way. Jesus at times was not the most popular way. Lord, we just want to be faithful. Father, we thank you that you are clearly, without a shadow of a doubt, the healer. It is your desire and your will, 100% of the time, to heal our bodies. You do not want anyone going through sickness and disease. And Father, not only that, you've given us the ability, you've given us the means by which we can walk into divine healing. Thank you, Jesus, for demonstrating who the Father was. So if you're here tonight and you're facing anything in your body, yeah, with this renewed purpose of faith, if there's anyone here that wants to get hands laid on them for sickness in their body, come forward right now. Don't delay. Just come forward. Anybody at all that wants to receive healing in their body, now that you know, you've seen it in the Word. God is not okay with this in your body. And we saw clearly in the Word tonight how He's going to minister. For those of you that are up here, two ways, the laying on of hands, but your part is by faith to receive it. What does that mean by that? Is when I lay hands on you, you believe that power of God goes in you. and you believe, I don't care if you walk back to your seat and symptoms are worse, if you wake up, the symptoms are worse, the power went in you. Father, we thank you for healing. We thank you for healing. Lord, now you said in your word, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So, Father, we just take you at your word in the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you for healing her body. We command, yeah. Just like Jesus spoke to the sickness in Matthew chapter 8, we speak to that sickness, get out of her body. Disease, get out of her body. You're trespassing. In the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Father, may the power of God go in her and receive that. Yeah, just receive that, Kristen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, yeah. In the name of Jesus. There it goes. From the top of her head to the bottom. We command sickness and disease to leave her body. In Jesus' name. Now both of you just thank God. Just thank God for it. Just thank God for your healing. You or you. Both. I'm going to do you first, okay? Are you ready to be healed, Jazzy? You believe he can do it? Do you believe he wants to do it? He does. Amen. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. From the top of her little head to the bottom of her feet, we command sickness and disease to leave her body in Jesus' name. Father, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, be free. Head to toe, healed and whole. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for healing our bodies, for demonstrating your willingness. We praise you and magnify you. Now, if I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. Please, nobody looking around. Maybe you're listening online or you're here. Thank you. You've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. People say, how do I get to heaven? How do I get to heaven? Well, God made a way. Gave us Jesus. Jesus is the roadmap. So doesn't going to church get me to heaven? No. What if I'm a good person and I try to be a good person? Does that get me to heaven? No. What if I'm generous and kind and live a good moral life? Does that get me to heaven? No, it doesn't. The only thing that gets you into heaven is the exact way Jesus said to, which was to believe on him. To believe on me, he said, you'll never perish but have everlasting life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here tonight, you say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I want to. You're not joining this church. You're not saying anything except that I declare I believe in Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass anybody. I won't have anybody stand up, come forward, or say anything on their own. This is between you and the Lord. If you're here tonight and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and know for sure that you're going to heaven. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just lift your hand high in the air? Is there anybody that wants to receive the Lord tonight? Again, you're not joining this church. You don't have to ever come back here. Going to this church doesn't get you into heaven. Receiving Jesus does. Is there anybody at all, before we close tonight, that wants to receive the Lord that never has? Anybody? Just lift your hand high in the air. Father, I don't see any hands in this building, so I trust that everyone here under the sound of my voice and listening online, Lord, is born again. If not, pray that they would not pass from this life till they make Jesus their Lord and Savior. And Lord, it has nothing to do with the raising of the hands. But Lord, all they need to do is cry out to you and say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. If you'll pray that, he'll save you. And now your next step is to be planted in a Bible-teaching church. But Pastor, you said I didn't have to go to church. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. But if you want to receive and learn all the things that God has for you, you need a pastor. Plant somewhere they're teaching the Bible where God's leading you. Be faithful. Start to put the word to practice in your life and watch things start to change for the better. Father, we're thankful for who you are. Let's just stand to our feet together and let's just block everything out and just worship him for a minute. And for those of you that had hands laid on, just thank him for your healing. Thank him for your healing. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy, for your love and for your kindness. We thank you, Lord. Yeah. This is an admonishment to people. Remember this verse. For those of you that are facing tough times, for those of you that are facing difficult situations, for those of you that are facing uncertain times, impossible ways, things that are up ahead that may frighten the mind, terrify the flesh, give you all sorts of thoughts, remember that I, even I, am he who sits looking to and fro throughout the whole earth to find somebody that I can show myself. If it's prosperity, he wants to show that. If it's deliverance, he wants to show that. If it's protection, he wants to show that. If it's freedom, he wants to show that. If it's healing, he wants to show that. But he wants to show himself strong in that situation in which you're facing. That situation that brings terror to you, that brings all sorts of thoughts and feelings. Just remember, he wants to be big in that situation. All you need to do to cooperate, to receive that strength and that power, is give him your agreement. Give him your belief. Agree with him. Begin to declare, Father, I thank you. You want to be big in this situation. I thank you. You want to turn this around. You want to protect me. You want to heal this situation. You want to provide in this situation. I agree with that, Father. I don't care what it's been like. I don't care what it's felt like. I don't care what it looks like. I know you want to change this thing. Oh, and if you'll do that, you'll give him a chance to come off that perched position in heaven and pounce on that situation and bring deliverance and strength and mercy and power and healing and victory and peace and prosperity and favor in that situation. Now, for those people that that pertains to, begin to praise him. If you believed it, that he wants to be big in that situation, if you believed it, you would thank him. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You're not okay with that. You're not okay with that. You care about that. You care about that. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Father. We honor you tonight. We glorify your name. Thank you for your mercy, Father. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Love you all. We'll see you Sunday. You are dismissed.
Just go to the bridge. Come on, just say, put him under. Put him under. let's do it.
Put him on me.
The Bible says he's on, but come on.
Put him on me, your feet. Put him on.
To put him under. Come on, say it with me.
Say, put him under your feet.
Come on, do it.
Put him under your feet.
Are you getting a witness out there? Come on.
Put him under your feet. Put him.
Keep it right there. Keep it right there. Put him under.
Put him under your feet. Put him under your feet. Put him under your feet.
Are we going to go parts?
Put him under.
Okay.